Welcome to Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Sam. I'm doing a recording by myself. Kyle's going to be unavailable here for a little bit. He's on a travel. And so I'm here. We're going to be continuing today on God's refining fire is being mistaught. And we did a part one previously. We looked at primarily some passages in the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah. Today we're going to continue, and we're going to look at Ezekiel, Malachi, and a couple other passages in Proverbs and Psalm. And then I think we're going to, after that, we'll do a part three, looking at, again, the use of how God uses fire and what God says about himself and what it means, God is the consuming fire. That will be part three. And then part four, we'll look at the consistency of those passages in the New Testament. So with that, let's open in prayer. Father, I thank you that you, O God, are our eternal Father. You know, a lot of people today, O Father, are celebrating the earthly Father's Day. But Father, it truly is to be a celebration to you, our eternal Father. All those who are sons and daughters of God, who have been born again by your Spirit, who have been freed from all sin, having sin and the works of the devil completely destroyed and removed from their lives, having been cleansed from all unrighteousness, the work that you do, as you remove all the sinful thoughts from their mind so that they don't struggle in their mind with any sinful thoughts anymore. There's many that don't understand these things because they haven't been taught about what your Spirit and the new Spirit and the new heart does in a person's life. Father, I pray that this day our lives will be a pleasing sacrifice to you, a fragrant aroma acceptable to the Almighty God, as we live our lives in holiness, blameless before you, our lives proving the will of God, all that which is good, acceptable, and perfect, your will. Father, be glorified in your word. Open the eyes and ears to those that are listening, that they may be taught and understand your ways and your truth about what it means, the refining fire of God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and we're going to start in Ezekiel. And we're going to start off in Ezekiel chapter 22. Now, Ezekiel chapter 22, he starts and starts giving the analogy of a pot. And this pot has filthiness in it. And so God needs to cleanse this pot. And he's basically equating it to Israel. So let's go ahead and read this. Starting in Ezekiel chapter 22. We'll begin in verse 15. I shall scatter you among the nations. I shall disperse you through the lands. And I shall consume your uncleanliness from you. See, God doesn't want unholiness in us. He doesn't want sin. That's unclean. God wants us to be pure. Only he can make us pure if we come to him in truth. This people didn't. Let's find out more about the situation and what God says. Verse 16. You will profane yourself in the sight of the nations, and you will know that I am Yahweh. And the word of Yahweh came to me, saying. And so now Ezekiel is continuing to speak the words of God. And this is the instruction that God gives to Ezekiel. In verse 18. Son of man, the house of Israel has become dross to me. All of them are bronze and tin and iron and lead in the furnace. They are the dross of silver. Now, notice he's equating the people. The people are the dross. Well, why are the people dross? Well, it's because of their uncleanliness, their wickedness, the sin in their lives. We're supposed to be a people that have been purified. When you're born again, the question is, were you ever sanctified? We've done the episode on sanctification's an event, not a process. as God defines it. Now, there's many people who believe the opposite. Well, that's because they aren't being taught by what God says. They're being taught by deceivers. So as you continue to read in verse 19, God says, therefore, thus says Lord Yahweh, because all of you have become dross, therefore, behold, I am going to gather you into the midst of Jerusalem. Verse 20. As they gather silver and bronze and iron and lead and tin into the furnace to blow fire on it in order to melt it, so I shall gather you in my anger, and in my wrath I shall lay you there and melt you. Do you see how God refines and purifies to remove sin? When someone doesn't come in the new heart and the new spirit that God wants to do in a person's life to cleanse them from all sin, but they think that they can continue to come before God and serve God, cry out to God, seek God, pray to God, worship God, but with an unclean heart and still struggling with sin, they deceive themselves. God only has so much patience. And then he will relieve himself of his adversaries, those who call themselves sons of God but are not. In verse 21, God continues. He says, I shall gather you and blow on you with the fire of my wrath. You who are listening, is that the refining you want? To have your life taken by the Almighty God? I assure you, he does not take the life of the true sons and daughters of God in his wrath, but the imposters, those who think they are but aren't, because they still have sin and iniquity, because they haven't been cleansed from all sin, the promise that God wanted to do that's being distorted by many people who do not know the truth. Verse 22. As silver is melted in the furnace, so you will be melted in the midst of it. And you will know that I, Yahweh, have poured out my wrath on you. Now I know for myself, I don't want God's wrath poured out on me. But what it comes down to is where we stand with God. What does our life look like? What is God going to say about us? Not what we think about ourselves. If you still have sin or wickedness, believe me, you're in trouble. God's not done. He wants to continue. Verse 23. Still in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 23. And the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, say to her, you are a land that is not cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in her midst, like a roaring lion tearing the prey. See, that's what God says. There's a conspiracy. The prophets, they aren't truthful. They're like a lion who tears its prey. They have devoured lives. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in the midst of her. Verse 26, her priests have done violence to my law. This is how God sees it. But the priests of God, their leaders, their pastors, how can they be doing violence to God's law? They speak for God, not against him. Well, you see, anything that's not in line with God's truth, it's against him. So he continues. Not only have they done violence to my law, they have profaned my holy things. How, you might ask? Well, he tells us. They have made no distinction between the holy and the profane, or the holy and the unholy. They have not taught the difference between unclean and clean. They hide their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am being profaned amongst them. Now, the priests were leading the people. It's just when you don't speak against sin and point out the liars and the imposters, or you don't recognize that you yourself are an imposter in the eyes of God, not a true son. This is how God sees you, and He will refine you. He will exterminate you with His wrath of fire. God continues in verse 27. Her princes within her are like wolves, tearing the prey, shedding blood, destroying lives in order to get dishonest gain. Her prophets have smeared whitewash for them. They see false visions, divining lies for them, saying, "Thus saith Lord Yahweh," when Yahweh has not spoken. And see, what they're referring to is you have the princes, the nobles among the people, and yet the prophets of God must be trying to justify their behavior, making them appear holy, whitewashed. Remember, Jesus spoke about whitewash in the Gospels. He says these people lie. They don't speak the truth. Verse 29, the people of the land have practiced oppression. They've committed robbery. They have wronged the poor, the needy. They've oppressed the sojourner without justice. God says, I search for a man among them who would build up the wall. I search for a man that would stand in the gap before me in the land so that I would not destroy it. But I found no one. Verse 31. So I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their way I have brought upon their heads, declares Lord Yahweh. There you go. God's refinement. God's refining fires when He purges and removes the wicked from amongst the righteous to destroy them, to bring upon their own heads the judgment that they deserve because they wouldn't repent. God continues to speak in Ezekiel chapter 24. And actually earlier, you know, I was talking about in 22, the pot, actually it was the furnace, the judgment. Chapter 24 is the pot, and the pot that has filthiness in it. So now we're going to read about that one. So in chapter 24, starting in verse 10, heap on the wood, kindle the fire, boil the flesh well, and mix in the spices, and let the bones be burned. This is in a pot on wood. Then set it, the pot, on its coals, so that it may be hot, and its bronze might glow, and its filthiness might be melted in it. For she has wearied me with toil. Yet her great rust has not gone out from her. And he's speaking of, you know, Jerusalem. And you might be, well, what's this rust? He says, let her rust be in the fire. And your filthiness is lewdness. Because I would have cleansed you, but you are not clean. You will not be cleansed from your filthiness again until I have spent my wrath on you. You see, God wants to cleanse. You see, that's what God wants to do. God wants to cleanse you from all sin and unrighteousness. God wants to make you into a new creation. But when you don't come in faith with that truth and understanding, when you don't come in faith and believing in that power of God that He can cleanse you from all sin so you don't continue to walk in it, well, then you're effectively refusing to be cleansed by God. And when you refuse to be cleansed by God, oh, He'll deal with you. He's going to remove you. If you don't let God remove the sin from you, then he will remove you, the sinner. Because sin will not stand in the presence of God. One way or another, it will be removed. Either you being converted through the event of sanctification, or you will lose your life and he will exterminate you because you didn't come into his truth and faith to get the new heart and the new spirit. Do not sit there and say that you have a new heart and a new spirit if you struggle with sinful thoughts when it's not convenient and when you're tempted. That is a lie. You have not been cleansed. As Jesus said, the sinful thoughts within you defile you, and that's what is the proof of why you're the bad tree that gets cast into the fire. Listen to the episode we did on the new heart, New Testament passages of what Jesus speaks of that. Listen to the new heart and the new spirit episodes and what God specifically says. Do not listen to people who tell you what they think. Go to the source and listen to what God's word says. And we covered that in those episodes so that you can know what God says. Still in Ezekiel chapter 24, verse 14, I, Yahweh, have spoken. It is coming, and I shall act. I shall not relent. I shall not pity. And I shall not be sorry according to your ways and according to your deeds. I shall judge you, declares Lord Yahweh. You know, God says the same thing in the book of Revelation. God is consistent. Verse 15, and the word of Yahweh came to me saying, Son of man, behold, I am about to take from you the desire of your eyes with a blow, but you shall not mourn, and you shall not weep, and your tears shall not come. Well, what's this delight that he's going to take away from Ezekiel? Verse 17, groan silently and make no mourning for the dead. Do not bind on your turban. Do not put on your shoes on your feet. Do not cover your mustache. Do not eat bread of men. So I spoke to the people in the morning, and in the evening my wife died. And in the morning I did as I was commanded. So God just took his wife. But God said, you will not mourn. You will not weep. Why? The people said to me, will you not tell us what these things are? And what do they mean for us? Verse 20. Then I said to them, the word of Yahweh came to me saying, speak to the house of Israel. Thus says Lord Yahweh, behold, I am about to profane my sanctuary. I am going to profane the pride of your power, the desire of your eyes, and the delight of your soul. Your sons and your daughters, whom you have left behind, will fall by the sword. And you will do as I have done. You will not cover your mustache. You will not eat the bread of men. Your turbans will be on your head and your shoes on your feet, but you will not mourn and you will not weep. But you will rot away in your iniquities and you will groan to one another. Thus Ezekiel will be a sign to you. According to all that he has done, you will do also. When it comes, then you will know that I am Yahweh, or I am Lord Yahweh. So here again, you have an example. God is not going to tolerate their sin. You cannot continue to think you have peace with God when you're still struggling with sin in your life. You were never cleansed. All sin and unrighteousness was not removed from you. The power of God, the Spirit of God, all the fullness, the same fullness that was in Christ, it cannot be in you because you wouldn't be struggling. If you're struggling and trying, how can you say that's faith? That's works of the law. You're trying to do the very thing you know that is wrong, that you should not be doing. You're trying not to do that thing. You're trying to do good. No, you see, that's the problem. It's the trying. That's not the power of God. That's not faith. That's works of the law. Now, we did an episode on that. Faith versus works. And the faith of Abram versus the faith of Abraham. Listen to that episode. Let God instruct you. It's a power issue. And the power comes from what you're believing and putting your faith in. Remember, the devil preaches Christ. The devil preaches the gospel. The devil preaches the Holy Spirit. How do you know whether you've been taught of the truth as God defines it, or that you're being taught in Christ and the good news and the Holy Spirit the way the devil wants you to believe, so you never come into victory in power? Believe me, the life of the true church is completely different from the life of the church that has no power and they struggle. Next, I want to turn over to Malachi. Flip over to the last book in the Old Testament. And we're going to look at Malachi chapter 3 and chapter 4. And we're going to see some of the same themes. And, you know, even here, let's back up. I actually want to cover chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. Now, what's the context? Why did I pick these chapters? When you look at chapter 3, it's going to get in verse 2 and 3, it says, "But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, like fuller's soap. So he will sit as a smelter, a purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, so that they might present to Yahweh offerings in righteousness." So we're going to look at this and what this means, and we're going to get the context, because many people have false context. And again, in chapter 4, verse 1, "Behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And the day is coming that will set them ablaze, says Yahweh of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch." So what do all these things mean? What's the application? What's the context? Not as man may try to teach, but as God declares in truth what these things mean. Let us now let God's word instruct us. Chapter 2. And now this, starting in verse 1, Malachi chapter 2, verse 1. "And now this commandment is for you, O priests." Okay, so he's speaking to leaders. If you're a leader, he's speaking to you. If you aren't a leader, think about the words that he's speaking to your leader. Do these words apply? "If you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says Yahweh of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. And indeed, I have cursed them already, because you are not taking it to heart. Behold, I'm going to rebuke your offspring. I am going to spread refuse or dung on your faces. The refuse or dung of your feasts, and you will be taken away with it." Now you see, the people are still serving God. They're going and celebrating in the feasts and the celebrations of God. But there's a problem. There's a problem. As we keep going, the people are going to be like, "What do you mean, God? What are you talking about? How are we doing this? We think we're right before you." Just like much of the church today thinks they have right standing with God. The problem is they aren't the true ecclesia. They are not the true church. Verse 4, "Then you will know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant may continue with Levi, says Lord Yahweh of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life, a covenant of peace. I gave them to him as an object of reverence, so that he revered me and stood in awe of my name. You see, this is the covenant that God made. The covenant he made with Levi. Levi, the priest of the people, to reconcile them to God. And that was how Israel was reconciled. Today, Christ has come and displaced that. Now, both Jews and all Gentiles are reconciled to God through the priest, the high priest, Christ, our Lord. As we keep reading in Malachi chapter 2, verse 6, this is what he says about Levi when he had the covenant of life and peace. True instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace. He walked with me in uprightness. And he turned many back from iniquity, back from their sins. He turned them from sin. You know, the same things are spoken of Jesus as also the faithful and high priest of now all people, as Gentiles were added into the same covenant. Is that who we are? Verse 7, for the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is a messenger of Yahweh of hosts. But you see, the problem is, just like then, these priests were not doing that, even though they thought they did. The people thought they did. The people followed them. The people trusted in them. It's the same way today. It's unreal, the blindness that people don't understand because they follow their own desires. But I seek God, but I have a desire. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what you say or how you feel. The question is whether or not you have the proof in your life. We'll keep reading verse 8. But as for you, now he's speaking to this people, you have turned aside from the way of God. You have caused many to stumble by the instruction. Again, he's not giving them God's instruction. He's giving them their instruction. These priests think they're giving the people correct instruction. But God says you are not. God accuses them in verse 8. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says Yahweh of hosts. Verse 9. So I also have made you despised and abased before all the people, just as you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in the instruction. Now, did you catch that? He accuses them of not keeping his ways, but he doesn't say they've abandoned all the ways of God or instruction. Notice he says they're showing partiality in the instruction. And as I speak of that, I'm convicted of a passage in James. James chapter 2, let me turn there. And we did episodes in the book of James. We did each chapter. Back in the very beginning when we started, in like the first 5 episodes, you can go listen to the full message there. So much truth. But let me give you an example here from James chapter 2. Now he's speaking to a group of brethren. He says, my brethren, chapter 2, verse 1 of James, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes to you in your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes a poor man in dirty clothes, you pay special attention to the one who is wearing fine clothes. And you say, oh, sit here in the good place. You say to the poor man, oh, you stand over there, or sit down by my footstool. Have you not made a distinction among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my beloved brethren. Did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. He goes on to say in verse 7, or verse 8. If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. Verse 9. But if you show partiality, well, you're committing sin. And you are convicted by the law as a transgressor. Now, this is the one I want to focus on, the partiality. You see, people will be like, oh, you can't murder, you can't commit adultery. Well, here's what they don't understand. Verse 8, when it says, if you are fulfilling the royal law, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. Now, if you go to Romans chapter 13, I think it's verse 8 through 12, it goes through and defines what that royal law is. What does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? Most people are falsely blinded by thinking, oh, I help feed the poor. I help other people out, you know, when they're in need. Sorry. Sinners, wicked people who are going to be cast into hell, they do that too as well. And God talks about that in His Word, and we've covered that in past episodes. The question is, as He says, the one who loves his neighbor as himself doesn't sin against him anymore. He breaks none of the laws and has no sin against his neighbor. He doesn't covet against his neighbor. He doesn't steal. He doesn't swear falsely. He doesn't have hate in his heart or murder for his neighbor. No, he doesn't do any of those things. You might say, well, that's impossible. It is. It's an impossible work that only God can do. It's the proof of sonship. If you haven't experienced it, it's because God's impossible work has not been accomplished in your life. But that's what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. You no longer sin against the people around you. If you cannot do that, you are not doing well, and you are not fulfilling the royal law. You have deceived yourself in partiality, no different than what those who are going to happen that get thrown into hell. They do good to their neighbors in the eyes of man, but they can't stop sinning against them, which is in the eyes of God, of how He defines it. You see, the wicked do good and bad to their neighbor, which in totality is sin, wickedness. The good doesn't count. But the righteous man, the man who has the power of God, he doesn't continue to sin against his neighbor. He's the good tree that bears only one kind of fruit. He's the one who now only has one master. He's the one that only produces light, not light and darkness. He's the fresh spring that only produces fresh water, not fresh and bitter. He's the unleavened bread, having no leaven in him anymore. Which person are you? Because again, in James chapter 2, verse 9, if you are showing partiality, you're committing sin. And you're convicted by the law as a transgressor. Just like we read about in Malachi, those who are in partiality, you cannot serve God under your own terms. You cannot bear both kinds of fruit. That's partiality. And we're going to go back to Malachi, and you're going to find out what happens to partiality. But it's whoever keeps the whole, and it says, again, verse 10. You want to say, oh, but I keep the whole law. I don't murder. I don't do any of this. I just might only stumble in one point. Because it's not possible to not stumble in anything. Really? Verse 10, still in James chapter 2. Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, that's fine. God's going to charge you. You have become guilty of everything. You see, if you break in one, you'll be accused of being transgressors of all. For God, who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but you commit murder, you're a transgressor of the law. You will be guilty of all. And that's what people don't understand. People say, yeah, but what about James chapter 3, verse 2? It says, for we all stumble in many ways. No, that's the one person. That's the many. And the rest of that verse says, but if anyone does not stumble in what he says, well, he's the perfect man. He's able to bridle the entire body as well. And it goes in and talks more about that. Now, we've covered much of this in depth. We've gone through the context. These, you know, all these chapters, go listen to those episodes in James that we did. Back to Malachi. So in Malachi chapter 2, verse 10, these people, he says, no, you aren't keeping my ways because you're showing partiality to my instruction. He continues verse 10, do we not all have one Father? Has not one God created us? Then why do we deal treacherously against his brother so as to profane the covenant of our fathers? You cannot say, oh, yeah, I'm under the one God. Well, do you sin against your brother? Okay, then you profane the covenant of God. Verse 11, Judah has dealt treacherously. And an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. Judah has profaned the sanctuary of Yahweh, which he loves, and has married the daughter the daughter of a foreign god. As for a man who does this, may Yahweh cut off from the tents of Jacob everyone who awakes and answers, or who presents an offering to Yahweh of hosts. So, and this gets back, right? One of the sins of the day is they continue to stumble with having other forms of worship. But they also worship God. He says, no, you can't do that. If you think that you can go and have this sin and then also come and serve and offer sacrifices to God, God says, no, I'm going to cut you off. And it's no different today. You cannot sit there and go and struggle with sin and then come before God and think that he hears you. You know, we did the episodes on prayer and why God doesn't answer many prayers. Because he does not answer the prayer of a man who continues to sin. He continues in verse 13, still in chapter 2. This is another thing you do. You cover the altar of Yahweh with tears, with weepings and groanings. How many of you who are listening, do you come before God with weeping and tears with your problems? No? God says he no longer regards your offerings. God does not accept it in anything from your hand. Yet you say, for what reason does not God accept us? Because Yahweh has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth. Yahweh has been a witness against whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But not one has done so who has a remnant of the Spirit. Did you catch that? You see, he's going to call out some of the issues that they have in front of them. One, they had a problem with divorce. But notice he says, not a single person who has a remnant of the Spirit has done so. Look at your life. Look at the world today. Look at the church. Divorce everywhere. Not one who has a remnant of the Spirit has done so. And yet people want to say they have the Spirit of God. I'll tell you why there's divorce. It's because you have people in the world no different than the atheists. All they do is they know how to sin. And yet they want to serve God, and they serve him in a lie. Because they aren't holy. They have sin. That's why they struggle and fall. That's why they continue to stumble, because they haven't been cleansed from all sin. They don't have the new heart. They don't have the new spirit. Verse 16, God says, I hate divorce, says Yahweh, the God of Israel, and him who covers his garment with wrong. I hate, says Yahweh of hosts. If you divorce, if you have wrong or evil, God says he hates it. He hates it. Are you listening? He hates it. So take heed to your spirit that you do not act treacherously. Because that's what God is going to accuse you, committing treachery against him. Verse 17, you have wearied Yahweh with your words. But the people say, because they think they serve God, the people say, but how have we wearied God? And God's response, and that you say to everyone who does evil that they're good in the sight of Yahweh, and that Yahweh delights in them. So let me focus on those. There are so many churches today that people say, oh, God blesses us. Oh, you know, God bless you. God bless you. Oh, yeah, you know, we're blessed in the sight of God. Well, if you're still a sinner, if you still struggle with sin, if you have sinful thoughts, and you're going around thinking that those people are good and pleasant in the sight of God. God says that's what you're doing. You call evil good. And then, and you also say that God delights in you. God says, that's why you weary me with your words. Because you lie and you blaspheme his truth. And you put words into God's mouth that are false. God is not with the sinner. They are not blessed, and God does not delight in the person who still struggles with sin in their life. Stop deceiving yourself if that's you. If it isn't you, be confident and understand and be rooted in the words of God and speak truth. We are commanded to be watchmen. Listen to the episode of the watchmen. You don't warn the sinner of his ways that he's going to perish at the judgment of God because you're afraid to please man rather than pleasing God. God says not only will that man perish, but God will require his blood at your hands, and you will perish as well because you didn't speak the truth. And I'll tell you, if you can't speak the truth, how do you have the Spirit of God in you? The Spirit of God isn't one of fear, but of power and courage. What spirit is in you? Chapter 3, Malachi. Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says Yahweh of hosts. Now we know this is a prophecy of Christ. Christ coming, the messenger of God, clearing the way before his Father. But in verse 2 it says, but who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. Verse 3, he will sit as a smelter and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi. He will refine them like gold and silver so that they might present to Yahweh offerings in righteousness. Now, what he's referring to is he's going to come because as Christ comes, again, as follow-on, right, not just to Jews but now to all Gentiles, he allows us to be converted from the sinner to the righteous man. And so he converts us. But those who are not converted, those who are no longer able, who cannot present offerings in righteousness, well, they will be melted away. They will be removed. Let us keep reading. But those who have been converted, it says, verse 4, then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to Yahweh, as in the days of old, as in the former years. It's not a change. It's not new. God doesn't change. There were few in the days of old that properly served God. It's just it's been few. Verse 5, then I will draw near to you for judgment, and I will be swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the wage earner and his wages, and those who oppress the widow, the orphan. Those who turn aside the alien and do not fear me, says Yahweh of hosts. For I, Yahweh, do not change. Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. You see, the judgment's coming. And Christ is going to come and bring the judgment of his Father on the earth. And if you have not been converted to be able to live pleasing to God, as in the days of old, as in the former years of the righteous men of the Old Testament, then you're going to be consumed. God wants to convert you so that you are not consumed. But don't be deceived and think that you can have two natures, serve two masters, be light and dark, bear both kinds of fruit. Those are lies of the devil. God clearly speaks against that in his word. Verse 7, Malachi chapter 3. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes. You have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says Yahweh of hosts. You see, you got to repent. You got to return or you will be consumed. You'll be melted away in the fire. Verse 8. He's going to give examples of how they need to turn or what their wrongs are. A lot of people know verse 8, but they don't know as you keep reading because they don't keep reading. Will a man rob God? Yet you say, well, how are we robbing God? He says, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you, God says. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there might be food in my house. Test me now in this, says Yahweh of hosts. If I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows, then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that I might not destroy the fruit of the ground. Nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes early, says Yahweh of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says Yahweh of hosts. And then God also accuses them again. For your words have been arrogant against me, says Yahweh. And again, the people are like, what do you mean? What have we spoken against God? See, again, these people don't understand. They're like, God, how are we not serving you? God, how are we speaking against you? Because in their eyes and their mind, they're faithfully serving God. It doesn't matter what we think. It only matters what God's going to say. In verse 14, it says, you've said, oh, it's vain to serve God. And what profit is there that we keep his charge, that we've walked in mourning before Yahweh of hosts? So now, and this is what God says they're doing. You call the arrogant blessed. And not only are the doers of wickedness built up, but they test God and escape. You see, in many of the churches today, God looks at the church and calls them arrogant. God looks at the church and says they're still wicked. They have sin. But yet the people within the church, they say, oh no, we're blessed of God. Oh no, we're a righteous people because we have a cloak of righteousness and the forgiveness of sins. But people are ignorant and they don't know what that means. And so they think that they're going to escape the judgment of God. And so when you promise people peace, you tell them they have salvation with God, you say that you're going to escape the judgment of God through Christ, and you don't know what these things mean, God's going to accuse you of being arrogant against him. But there are a few who weren't. Verse 16, then those who feared Yahweh spoke to one another, and Yahweh gave attention and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear Yahweh and esteem his name. This is how God sees them, not how, because I know some of you who are listening, I used to be one of those who I would have told you, yes, I fear God. I would have told you I esteem his name, and God would have called me a liar. Now, I wouldn't have believed that before, but today I do, after God has changed me, and now I know his truth and power. In verse 17, he says, they will be mine, says Yahweh of hosts. On the day that I prepare my own possession, I will spare them as a man who spares his own son who serves him. God's not going to spare the son who does not serve him in holiness and truth. God's only going to spare the son that serves him the way God requires. There's many sons that are going to be called illegitimate and are going to be cast out. In verse 18, so you will then again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked. You will again then distinguish between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve God. Again, this is as God will judge, not of what man thinks he does. In chapter 4, the final 6 verses. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer or every sinner will be chaff. And that day is coming and will set them ablaze, says Yahweh of hosts, that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. You will tread down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day I am preparing, says Yahweh of hosts. You see, the wicked, those who continue to sin, it doesn't matter that they take the name of the Lord. It doesn't matter that they go to worship. It doesn't matter that they say, what do you mean, God? We do serve you. Why? How can we be arrogant? They're going to get burned. And the remnant of their ash will be under the feet of the righteous. You don't want to be refined in God's furnace. That's where he removes the wicked. All those who never came to be purified with a new heart and a new spirit so that they could be converted, and no longer be that sinner. Verse 4, remember the law of Moses, my servant. Remember the statutes and the ordinances which I commanded in Oreb for all Israel. For behold, I am going to send to you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of Yahweh. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. Well, we all know, and Jesus talked about this. He quoted this. The land's going to be smote with a curse, and all the wicked are going to be destroyed. He's referring to those who've been restored, those who get the new heart and the new spirit. They aren't going to be smoted with the judgment of God or a curse, but the wicked will. I pray that this is making sense. Two final passages, and we're going to end. We do not want to be the wicked man. In Proverbs chapter 25, I want to read. Let me flip there. All right, Proverbs chapter 25. And verse 4 and 5. Take away the dross from the silver, and there comes out a vessel for the smith. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. You see, God removes the wicked, just like he removes the dross from the silver, so that those that remain will be established in righteousness. He removes those who don't get converted. He removes them. In Psalm chapter 119, I want to look at verse 113 to 120. God says, I hate those who are double-minded. Or this is David speaking. Pretty sure this is Psalm of David. David speaking by the Spirit of God. I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. You are a hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. Depart from me, evildoers, that I might observe the commandments of my God. Sustain me according to your word, that I might live. And do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Uphold me that I might be safe, that I might have regard for your statutes continually. For you, O God, have rejected all those who wander from your statutes. Their deceitfulness is useless. You have removed all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. If you're still wicked, if you're still a sinner, you will be removed out of the presence of God. And we'll close with Revelation chapter 22, verse 11 to 12. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong. Let the one who is filthy still be filthy. That's one person. Now the other. Let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. He's a doer. And the one who is holy still keep himself holy. He remains in the sanctification and the holiness that God has placed him in. Verse 12, behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to render to every man according to his deeds. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray as we continue to go through this, people will be aware of your nature and your ways, how you do not change, and that people don't want to experience the refining fire of God. They want to be changed through an event, through the sanctification of holiness, to be converted to a new man, and the baptism, the spiritual baptism. It is an event. People who falsely think they're on a process, who cannot overcome, who continue to struggle and stumble, it's because they're living a lie and being led by the lies of the deceit of the devil, following a false Christ, a false spirit, and a false gospel. They have a false hope, just like much of Israel. And if they do not find the truth, O God, I know, and your word clearly says, they will be purged and refined and consumed with fire, the anger of your wrath, because they wouldn't come in humility to get of the new heart and the new spirit, to be changed forever, to be able to live a life of righteousness and holiness and faith by the power of God, not the efforts or trying of men. Be glorified, O God, in our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.